In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, and my song. Let's look at that on book, chapter, and verse.
Words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words.
Wonderful words of life.
Welcome to Book, Chapter, and Verse, and I'm Jeff Archie. Thank you for your time today as we spend some time looking at the map of life and the light to follow God's Word, the Bible. Let us examine Book, Chapter, and Verse. And you are more than welcome to join us weekly as we look at God's Word together and reach for your Bible and follow along. Please know that the end of our broadcast will bring forth an opportunity to offer some Bible study material absolutely free so you may continue your studies in God's Word in the privacy of your own home. So please stay tuned. We'll have more to say about that. As said in our beginning, in Christ alone, our hope is found. Listen to our book, chapter, and verse today of Galatians 2 and verse 20. Paul says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Christ gave himself for you and for me. It is in his death that I have that hope. No other person could have died for you and for me and accomplished what Christ did. Over 30 years ago, while I was studying in a class, I noted some things to be ready for test, but I did not realize fully at the time the words from an instructor by the name of Marlon Connolly. I didn't realize what he would teach me would remain with me after all this time. Looking through some files and some things, I want to share with you the things that were shared with me in a Bible class. And since this is our class time, let's think about the death of Christ and its power. Now, we will have a different book, chapter, and verse as we look at each point. So keep your Bibles ready and let's go to work. Number one, when we think about the death of Christ, there was a real penalty to cancel. Listen to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Let's talk about this old English word constraineth from 2 Corinthians 5, 14 and 15. It's a word that means to hold together, to confine, to secure, to hold fast. That's what Christ's love does for a Christian. It holds us together. It keeps us secure. And it's because of that love we are able to make the following fair judgments and conclusions. This idea of to judge in this text means to separate or to choose or select or means to determine. Okay? So because of the love of Christ, his love that he gave his life for us, we determine or make a clear judgment that he died for us and we live for him. You see how that blends in together. We have that conviction. The penalty was canceled in obedience to Christ. He died for us so that we would not have to die spiritually. And we can live now faithful for him, both now and forever. It's here in the power of Christ we stand. The penalty was canceled. It was done away. How grateful we are for the love of Christ, for his death and his hope. Now let's consider something second. You have a real payment to collect. Now let's consider another book, chapter, and verse in the book of Romans, chapter 3, verses 23 through 25. Romans, the sixth book of the New Testament, wonderful book. And in Romans 3, and beginning with verse 23, we're reminded, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath sent forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say, at this time His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Now let's define some words in this text. Let's start first of all with the word justified. It's a word that means set free or innocent, declared innocent. So we're justified freely by His grace through redemption. Now I like to think of the word justified in this way. Justified. Just as if I'd never sinned. I like the way that's brought forth. I'm set free. I'm declared innocent. I have a pardon. Just as if I'd never sinned. In Romans 8 in verse 1, we are reminded that there is therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. I've been set free. When I look at that word justified, freely by His grace, but obviously we see not by His grace alone, it's through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Now let's define the word redemption. This word means to buy out of a situation it can't get itself out of, or redemption. In other words, I'm in a situation of sin that I cannot get out of unless I am justified by the grace of Christ through the redemption in Christ. Paul told the church at Ephesus in Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. I have that redemption. There are times that we sing a hymn, redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, redeemed through His infinite mercy, His child and forever I am. Now let's look at another word, propitiation, verse 25. God hath sent forth Christ Jesus, going back to verse 24, to be a propitiation through faith in His blood. This word propitiation means here is the satisfactory payment for something. If I go into a store and there is a price on something, I will make a satisfactory payment or that price. That's what it's going to cost for me to purchase that. For example, this cup, if I go to purchase a cup like that, there's a price for it. And I will give a satisfactory payment for this cup. Well, Hebrews 10 and verse 4 told us what's satisfactory and what's not. Verse 4 says of Hebrews 10, the blood of bulls and goats could not take away sin. See, that's not satisfactory. Only the blood of Christ, the Lamb of God, according to John in John 1:29, could take away the sin of man. Now let's put all this together. From our text of Romans 3, there is no doubt that I sin. There is no doubt that we sin and fall short of God's glory. And this is not beautiful. We know that. It's not beautiful that we sin and fall short. And those that are Christians do not want to fall short. But when we fall short of the glory of God, we must be reminded of being justified. We must be reminded of our redemption. We must be reminded of the propitiation or the price that was paid to declare His righteousness in our lives. So through His death, we have a payment to collect. Through His death, we are able to receive what He has given us. Once again, here in the power of Christ, we stand. Now let's move on. Third thing I want us to notice is you have a real prospect to consider. Now this book, chapter, and verse keeps us in the book of Romans, but let's go to Romans chapter 5 and verses 6 through 10. Listen to what Paul says, and let's look at some words here. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet perhaps, or peradventure, for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. When I look at this and I see a description of those who are ungodly, sinners, and enemies. Try this with me. Look at verses 6. Christ died for the ungodly. While we were yet sinners, in verse 8, and while we were enemies, in verse 10. Ungodly, sinners, and enemies, following after Satan. Ungodly, sinners, enemies, U-S-E, Satan will use up our lives and cast us away. God forbid. God forbid this be such the case. When I think about the prospect to consider that's before me, that's salvation in Christ. We're saved by His blood. Colossians 1, 13 and 14, as I turn just a few more verses over there, and I notice of Colossians 1, 13, that He hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Paul is writing to the church here in Colossae. He calls them saints and faithful brethren in verse 2. And we are delivered from the power of darkness. When an individual obeys the gospel, they are delivered from the power of darkness. There is light that's in Christ. And we are translated into the kingdom of His dear Son. Kind friend, we're not in a kingdom that's yet to come. We're already translated into a kingdom that has already been established. That's going back to the church that Jesus promised to build in Matthew 16, 18. And that also of the kingdom in Matthew 16 and verse 19. When I think about us being in 1 Peter 2, 9, the child of God, as one of a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a people for God's possession, that means they were already there. And you can't deny being translated into the kingdom of His dear Son. They were there in the days of Paul in the book of Colossae. And we're saved by His blood and we're already in His kingdom. Jesus is King of kings and Lord of lords, 1 Timothy 6:15. How beautiful that is. We're also saved from His wrath. We were ungodly and sinners and enemies. Satan would use us and did. We're saved from wrath. When I go to Revelation 2 in verse 11, and I'm reminded of how He saves us from that wrath, and that wrath in Revelation 20 in verse 6 of the horror and the terror that is to come. And I put all these things together and I think about it, how that we are saved from wrath. I believe the hymn Rock of Ages puts it this way, saved from wrath, and He's made me pure. We also note from Colossians 3 and verse 4, but I want to back up to verse 1, that we're saved by His life. If you then be risen with Christ, and of course, again, Paul is writing to the Christian, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth, for you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with Him in glory. So we're saved by His blood, saved from His wrath, saved by His life. When we put all that together, how beautiful indeed that truly is. This is the prospect to consider, and that's salvation in Christ Jesus. Salvation in Christ Jesus, none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. That's Acts 4 and verse 12. As I think about that, and I want to learn more of these opportunities, of the power of Christ, His love, His death, how can this help me to be crucified with Christ? When I think about Jesus in Matthew 15:10, Jesus expressed there to His listeners, hear and understand. There are 7 times in the book of Revelation that Jesus expresses something each time to the 7 churches of Asia when He tells them, he that hath an ear, let him hear. That is an exhortation of Jesus to say, I want you to listen to what I have to say. I want you to listen very carefully because, you see, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, Romans 10, 17. So I need to be able to hear from the Word of God what I need to know. That's how my faith will begin in God. Now, I can believe in God by seeing nature, creation. I can believe in God knowing that He is always there. But while I can believe there is a God, I must believe in God and know what He expects of me. Jesus in John 8:24 said, except you believe that I am He, you shall die in your sins. I need to believe and understand about God and about Christ in the Spirit. Hebrews 11:6 says, for without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. I must believe in God. And I understand that believing in God and believing alone is not all it is. The devils believe, yet they tremble in James 2:19. If they believe and tremble, then I need to think about, they believe and they're not obedient, then I need to think about my obedience to God through my faith. In an earlier broadcast, we talked about repentance. You see, if one says all you have to do is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved, that's actually what Acts 16:31 says, but we understand further in that text that Peter preached other words unto them and taught them many words to understand what they were to do with their faith. Repentance is necessary, and we must repent of our sins, according to Luke 13, 3 and 5. And repentance, as Peter preached in Acts 2 and verse 38. And so if I hear and understand the power of Christ, and I believe it and embrace it to where my belief will move me closer to change my life for Christ. And that's the beauty of repenting of my sins, to where I can turn away and turn toward Christ. I can leave a life of sin and come closer to Christ, not to engage in those things. And then when I confess Christ, I will confess Him as the Son of God, as we see in Acts 8:37. I will be a tongue that will confess Him as Lord, Philippians 2:11. Jesus said in Matthew 10:32, "Whosoever shall confess me before men, I will confess him before my Father which is in heaven. But he that denieth me before men, him will I deny before my Father which is in heaven." How tragic it is that one would not make the confession that Christ is the Son of God. And then we are buried with Him in baptism. You see how beautiful this blends together? I realize there are some that may disagree on this point, that baptism is not essential for salvation. But my friends, I can only go to the name or the words of Christ in Mark 16:16. "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." If I fail to believe Him, or if I believe Him and fail to be baptized, how can I really honestly say that I'll be saved when Jesus told me it takes both? Why was baptism commanded on the day of Pentecost if it's not necessary? They received His word. They were baptized, Acts 2, verse 40. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Did you catch that? That same day. It wasn't a delayed opportunity. That same day they were added to the church. I can't join the church and be out of the body of Christ. But when I'm added to the church, I'm added to the body of Christ. And I think about that. And then I realize life does not cease there. Oh yes, I am raised to walk in newness of life. Romans 6:4-6. I have put on Christ, Galatians 3:27. The like figure whereunto baptism doth now also save us. I haven't put away the filth of the flesh, but of the answer of a good conscience toward God. 1 Peter 3:21. I now begin a new life in Christ. I am raised to walk in newness of life. Romans 6:5-6. I walk now in newness. I walk differently. I walk in the light as He is in the light. 1 John 1:7. And in so doing, the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth me from all sin. It continually cleanses me. As I confess my sins, He's faithful and just to forgive me. 1 John 1:9. Dear friends, that's what you do to become a Christian. And you may be thinking, you mean I don't have to join a denomination? No, kind friend. You'll be added to the church we read of in the New Testament. You'll be added to the church, the saved of Christ. As we've thought about today of the love of Christ, the hope in Christ, and His death and all that has been paid, I hope today has given you direction, lifted you up, and will help you to grow and to learn more about Christ. How beautiful it is, to which we can conclude these thoughts simply by saying, here in the power of Christ, we may stand. Let's make certain we stand in His power and not our power. Now let's pause and enjoy and embrace this hymn together. May God bless you.
God reigns over the nations. God sits on His holy throne.
So let us stand in the power of Christ. Let us pursue knowledge of Him and the power of His resurrection through study and knowledge of His Word and declare, in the power of Christ, I'll stand.
Wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words
of life.